Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And from Matthew chapter 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, at the reading of your word, we respond with thanks be to God as an acknowledgement of how deeply we need you. Lord, we need you to feed us true food. Lord, we need you to give to us true drink. Lord, we're hungry and we're thirsty. So Lord, in this moment, we ask that you would do the thing that only you can do. By the power of your spirit, would you take these words in your word and shine light on them? Lord, would you shine light on the places in our hearts where the light needs to be shown? And would you use these words to great effect in our hearts and our souls, specifically to give us great hope in our Lord Jesus? And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So in 2006, there was an interview that was done for Time magazine, and the interviewer was interviewing an interviewee. Thank you, Michelle Little. And this person being interviewed was, at the time, the richest person in the world. And in the course of this interview, the question was asked, why aren't you religious? And the answer was interesting. The person said, well, religion is not the most efficient use of time resources. I mean, I could be accomplishing a lot more on a Sunday morning. And of course, this person, hear me this morning, is absolutely right. Absolutely right. See, if a human life, if the value of a human life, and if the good life is to be found in achieving more, accumulating more, more, then this is a complete waste of time. Like right now, total waste. But what if it's not? What if the value of human life and what if the good life is not to be found in achieving more? Not to be found in achieving, but what if it's to be found in receiving? What if the good life is not to be found in producing more, but it's to be found in a posture of dependency on the Lord? What if the real joy in life is not to be found in going faster, 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 but moving actually slower and slower and slower and slower? And what if life is not really about striving for more and more? But what if it's about a deeper settledness that accepts what God has given. See, something like that, okay? Something like that gets at the heart of this Sabbath command. Now, the Sabbath command, you heard me read it, is richly textured, okay? It's the longest of the commands. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. It's the most thorough. The command takes us all the way back to the days of creation. It's pervasive when it talks about the social relationships that are in effect in this command. It's a positive. You know, a lot of the commands are negatives. Don't kill, don't steal. But the Sabbath command is a positive. Remember, keep. It's calling us to do something positively. And there is so much that could be said about the Sabbath command. But this morning, in the time we have, I just want to be really clear, and I want to just offer you really three pastoral thoughts about this Sabbath command. Here's the first one. The first one is the Sabbath command shows us a pattern for living, and I'll unfold that. And here's the second one. The Sabbath command gives us a way to remember, and a way to remember several things, okay, and I'll unfold that. And then thirdly, this Sabbath command, the Bible will teach, is a sign that points us to fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus. So we'll unfold each of those three. And here's the main thing I want you to hear this morning. If you don't hear anything else that I say, the main thing I want you to hear this morning is you and I will find our rest when we rest in Christ. As our rest is to be found. So let's take a look together. Let's begin here in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Quite literally, the command begins by telling us to remember something. And the implication there is we're going to have a tendency to forget. See, I don't know all of you very well, but I don't know that you're gonna forget to not murder someone. I really hope. But we might forget to keep a Sabbath. The ancient Israelites might forget to keep Sabbaths. It's almost like in the ancient world, things could get kind of busy and you might forget. And to keep it holy, the word there is literally to set it apart. So literally, if I took of the things up here on my podium and I took something and I sat it over there to keep it special for an occasion, that is what it means to set a thing apart. One day out of the week when we set time apart for special use. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me, but sometimes when I walk in here on a Sunday morning and I'm doing my like pastor small talky thing around the room, okay? That's a thing. It's a thing we do. Some of you kind souls will say to me, how was your weekend? And I'm not joking you. I have a hard time remembering what I've done. And sometimes I'll say, I don't know. It all kind of runs together for me. And see, a comment like that could be revealing something of a deeper sickness, maybe in the soul. That it all kind of just runs together for me. There's not time that's set apart for special use, is what a comment like that is saying. The first thing we see is the Sabbath command is a pattern for living. Look with me again in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. It's interesting that the Sabbath command actually involves a command to work. Did you hear that? Here's the Sabbath, work for 6 days. See, work is a good thing. God gave people work before sin enters the world. Work is not bad. It's not a sign of the curse. Work is a good thing. Now, the toiling and the stressing that we do about our work for reasons we will unfold as we go, see, that's the bad thing. But the command, the Sabbath command, is actually do work. Do it for 6 days, and then one day, literally Shabbat, literally stop, cease. And in doing so, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In working for 6 days and stopping for one, we enter into something of imitating our Lord. We enter into something of sharing in our Lord's very life when we adopt this pattern. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, because think about this. When the Lord makes the world in 6 days and he rests on the seventh day, he does not rest because he's tired. The Lord can't get tired in that way. See, he rests because he's finished. He's done. So he takes a moment, so to speak, to pronounce it good. In other words, to delight in it and to celebrate. Now, you and I, if we have a moment where we stop from our work, don't we start calculating ways we can use that stopping to get ahead on other work we need to be doing? I mean, if I had a moment to just not work, then I'll start working on the next thing, right? Because you can't fall behind, right? You gotta stay on top of it, right? Well, not necessarily. The Lord's setting up a pattern of working and then enjoying, working and then resting, working and then delighting. I remember when Mandy and I remodeled a particular room in our house, and I've told so many different stories out of this remodeling story, but I'm gonna take it a slightly different angle on this. But we laid tile, we painted, we changed faucets, we remodeled this room in our house. And then when we were finished, our unbelievable instinct was to just sit on the floor and just look at it, to delight in it, to be done with it. And that is a good thing for the soul. There's also something else about this pattern that I wanna make sure you kind of get your hearts and minds around. And it's this idea that when God makes the world, on the seventh day, he rests to just rule and enjoy. And that seventh day is a kind of foretaste of the new creation, the new heavens and new earth, that will be like a perpetual Sabbath, if you will, where we will delight and rest in the deep and full way in the glory of our Lord and in the fellowship of each other with resurrected bodies in a new heavens and new earth. See, that seventh day of creation models for us what eternity will look like. And in Sabbath keeping, in this pattern of working and resting, we get a foretaste of that. See, the people of Israel are not in the promised land. They are in the wilderness. And you and I are not in the promised land. We are in the wilderness, so to speak. But for one day, we can live in light of new creation. We can train ourselves for the world that's yet to come if we'll take up this pattern of living. So it's a pattern for living. And here's the second thing. It's a way to remember several things. It's a way to remember several things. See, in the Bible, memory and worship are connected. When God's people are remembering rightly, they are worshiping rightly. When they are forgetting what God has done, then they begin to fail in every conceivable way. Memory and worship are connected. And our Lord is kind, and he knows that we need more than just kind of a talk about the things we're supposed to remember, but we need an embodied action, like not working for a day, in order to help us remember what's actually the most true thing about us. See, it'll sink deeper into our souls if we do something with our bodies weekly that helps us remember what's most true. And let me just ask you this morning, I'm just gonna ask it, I'm gonna let it sit for a second. But what do you actually believe is the most true thing about you? See, we're tempted to think the most true thing about us is something we've accomplished and achieved, probably in our work, but it's not. I want to tell you some of the most true things about you this morning. First of all, you, if you belong to Christ, have been redeemed. See, in keeping Sabbath is a way to remember that you have been redeemed. You've been bought. You belong to the Lord. Your sins are forgiven. You are in union with the creator of the universe. That's the most true thing about you. When this command is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, it goes like this. Keep the Sabbath, and it says many of the same lines in Exodus, but it goes on to say, because remember, the Lord redeemed you and saved you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, therefore keep the Sabbath. See, this is why worship on a Sunday, that's why worship on a Sunday is central to embodying this Sabbath command. See, we come into a place like this to remember what's most true. And the most true thing is you've been redeemed by God. You belong to him. It's the most true thing about you. See, Sabbath in this way is not self-care, okay? Sabbath is not self-care. It's not recharging your battery so you can work even harder next week. That misses the point. But Sabbath is a time to come to a place where someone from the outside of you can declare to you the things that are most true about you. That's the most deeply restful thing you can do. Now, I understand that coming to church on a Sunday doesn't necessarily feel restful, but it is the most restful thing you can do because it's a chance to rest in the promises of God. Sometimes some people will say to me, Joel, like, I'm sorry, that I miss church. People always apologize to me for missing church, which I do find endearing, actually. But sometimes they'll say, I'm sorry I missed church, I just needed a Sabbath. See, that doesn't work. Sabbath is not self-care in that sense. Now, Sabbath keeping has healing benefits for the soul, for sure. In other words, a Sabbath is not a time to get ready for the week. In fact, the week is your opportunity to get ready for your Sabbath. And there's a difference. Here's another thing that's true about you. If one thing most true about you is you've been redeemed, forgiven, and you're in union with the Lord, here's the second true thing about you this morning. This same Lord knows your needs and promises to meet them. When this Sabbath idea first occurs in the book of Exodus, remember, it's the story in the wilderness with the manna. When God would provide on a day-to-day basis, kind of from the heavens, food for his people to eat, and on that seventh day, they wouldn't need to go out and try to gather more because he would give double on the sixth day so they didn't have to strive on the seventh. In other words, Sabbath keeping is tied to trusting God for daily provision. See, y'all, listen to me. There's no need for more, because the truth is you have enough. One of the most true things about you is you have been redeemed and forgiven and brought into union with the Lord of the universe. And that this same Lord knows your needs and promises to meet them day by day by day by day by day. Here's a third thing true about you, and I really want you to hear me here. You are not valuable because of what you can produce. That is not what makes you valuable. See, the people of Israel in the land of Egypt, when they were under the heavy hand of the taskmaster Pharaoh, of course their only value is the ability to make enough bricks and straw to fund the Pharaoh's building projects. That was their only value. And God is training them through this weekly pattern to remember their value actually lies elsewhere. Not in their producing, not in their achieving, not in their more, 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 more. Y'all, have y'all noticed how in the modern world we have bought the lie that our work is an extension of our identity? That our work is kind of like expression to the world about who we are as people. And it is true to be given valuable work that you love and are passionate for and can put your whole heart and soul into is a good thing. And many of you this morning have work like that. I know I do. But it is the most subtle trick that our enemy has is to begin to convince us that our value lies in how good we're doing at it. It's just not where our value lies. And see, we need a practice like the Sabbath for that truth to sink into our souls. Y'all, here's how strange it is for me when your work is the work of a pastor, okay? See, I need you all to know that your real hope and identity lies in Jesus so that I can feel good about mine. Like if you guys will begin to look to Jesus for everything you need, then I start to feel like I'm valuable as a person. I mean, how messed up is that? But what if the Lord loves me, sees me, knows me? What if the Lord knows you, sees you, loves you, and is not contingent on what you can accomplish? See, that's one of those very big if true. So it's a pattern for living. It's a way to remember several things, most specifically the things that are most true about you. And then thirdly, the Sabbath is a sign that points us to the person and work of Jesus. See, the Sabbath was a sign to point us to a new heavens and new earth when all things are made right and restored. And see, it's Jesus who comes on the scene in the gospel stories in order to enact that new creation, in order to bring that kingdom that cannot be shaken. He comes onto the scene in order to establish God's good rule in the world. He comes onto the scene, if you will, to make living under his rule a kind of perpetual Sabbath to be enjoyed always. And that's why when you read the gospel stories, you notice, why is he always doing all the stuff on a Sabbath? See, this is the thing that gets Jesus in the most trouble. He's doing his work on the Sabbath, and people are like, well, why are you working on the Sabbath? And he's essentially saying to them, because I'm Jesus, and I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In my work is what the Sabbath rest was always pointing to. There is a deeper rest that can be found in me. You know, the lines that we read or say together so often here, when Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, right on the heels of that comment, he begins to talk about the way in which he is the Lord of the Sabbath. See, true Sabbath rest is to be found in Christ. Healing for your soul and the way it's being ground down by the constant more, 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 achieve, 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 produce, produce, produce. Healing for your soul is to be found in Christ, who says to you, come to me and I'll give you rest. The deeper kind of settledness that you're looking for in all your striving, you already have in Jesus. Now listen to me, this morning I cannot possibly know. I cannot possibly know some of the deeper exhaustion that is in the room. There is a kind of tired that you know a nap will not fix. But there's a deeper rest that can be yours in Christ. Let's pray together.